reconnecting for a minute or so. I want you to think back to your school days. I want you to think back to maybe like your science class, okay? And in science, they had these things called textbooks, right? Because they don't use textbooks anymore. It's all paperless usually. But in a textbook was divided into chapters, right? And at the end of every chapter, what would you typically find? At the end of every chapter? Questions. Review, right? End of chapter review. I mean, have those words rang true for decades now? No matter when you went to school? Right. It was an end of chapter review. And sometimes you even have reviews in the sections in the chapters too. So what was the purpose? What is the purpose of these chapter reviews? To help you remember? To what? To see what you learned, okay. See what you retained. Now these are reviews, right? Refresh because what? Because you forgot. I can't relate, so I don't know. Yeah. Whatever that is, I don't know. Right, yeah. Okay, so it was beneficial. Isn't that right, Mrs. Bates? My teacher. That's right. All right. So reviewing is very helpful. Now, in the Army has what's called field exercises. Now, field exercise is not when you go out in the field and do push-ups. Okay, a field exercise is something like you would practice with mock battles. Like you might practice defending a ground, or you might practice assaulting a building, or you might practice going out what they call reconnaissance, where you go out and gather information. And after that practice, they would have what's called an after-action review. All right, so what do you think was accomplished or the purpose of an after-action review? What do you think was the purpose of that? After we got done with the exercise, we came back and we talked about what was going on. We recreated in words what we had just experienced. And so what was the benefit of that? Evaluation to see, okay, did this work? Did that work? Right? Gain experience from others' experiences. And so reviewing also was a benefit as you evaluate. So we all agree that that reviewing is an important part of life. And we could talk about that in your business life, in your personal life. But reviewing, reevaluating is important. Now, over the last month, we have focused on what subject? Oh, I'm so glad somebody said that. Oh. Prayer, right. See, we're already reviewing. You're already on the right track, okay? And so as a pastor, as a teacher, just like any other teacher, especially teaching the Word of God, my goal is for you not to just simply listen. I don't want you to simply just, I'm just giving you information just for you to say, oh, that's nice. But the goal is for you to, as a teacher, I want you to be able to engage God's truth, right? What's being taught. I want you to be able to learn from God's truth and then put it into practice. Because after all, what's it say? Quit being just hearers, but you must be also doers of the word. And so as a teacher, the goal is for you to engage God's truth with your mind, with your soul, learning something and then putting it into practice. But I know there's barriers, right? There's barriers if we want to go beyond just listening. I know it's easy to simply just walk out of here this morning and not give this sermon another thought. I know that. You know why I know that? Because I've done it before, right? I've walked out of a Sunday school or a sermon or whatever, and I've walked out. I'm not giving it another thought. Add to the fact that they say you lose at least, you know, again, the figures, 75% of what you just learned within hours or days if you don't engage it again and then somehow practice it or apply it. Add to the fact that it's easy to lose focus, to be carried off into to another line of thought, because right now, in the probably less than 5 minutes that I've been speaking, some of your minds have wandered off. Again, that's just the way it is. Sometimes when I'm teaching, my mind wanders off. Where were we? Right? Because you come in here with a heavy burden sometimes, right? Sometimes you come in here with a lot on your mind, a lot on your plate. Maybe you've been struggling at home. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe there's just issues in life, or maybe you're excited for what's going on later today, but your mind just wanders. So it's easy to be preoccupied. Add to the fact that sometimes our points are not clear. Right? Sometimes there's a point you're like, if someone asks you to explain that, you're like, I'm not really sure. I mean, that's the barriers that we deal with. Add to the fact that sometimes the subject matter that we're preaching and teaching on is of very little interest to you. Is that not true? Especially if we're preaching on the Trinity and you're dealing with some kind of sin or issue. But somehow we have to connect that, though. How does the Trinity affect what's going on in my life now? It should. But a lot of times we can't make that connection. And add to the fact that sometimes we move from one subject to the next so fast that we don't have time to kind of pore over that one passage or that one subject, right? Because thinking in a month's time how many subjects you're being taught, and in your own personal devotion and at church, it's kind of da-da-da-da, right? And sometimes we just don't sit on a truth. And add to the fact of the ultimate thing of your sin nature, who is fighting against any truth that you might want to embrace and learn and practice. Can I confess something to you? I don't perfectly follow everything I teach and preach. Now, in your heart, does that disqualify me from teaching you? I hope not, because although I strive and I endeavor, sometimes the very thing that I'm teaching and preaching is the very thing that I'm struggling with. So just know, when I'm teaching and preaching, I'm trying to learn and practice it in my own life, but it doesn't always work that way. And I say, Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters' mercy, and thank you for your mercy, God, that although I still have areas that I'm super immature in, Lord, you still allow me to teach and to fellowship and serve with brothers and sisters. In other words, pastors, we're just like you. That'd be like asking you to come up and become a teacher and preach. You still have things. You're still under construction, right? We're all under construction spiritually. But praise God, just what Kyle has been saying this morning, that someday we will be fully, fully redeemed, and I cannot wait for that day so that I don't have to any longer struggle with wickedness in my heart. And I praise God for that day, and I'm sure you do too. But anyway, with that in mind, today we are going to do something that we've never done before. Matter of fact, I've never been part of a Sunday morning that's done this, what we're going to do. Okay? So, since this is something we've never done before, it's going to be interesting how it turns out, right? Because we might not have been down this path before. But with what I've said, with those things in mind, what I'd like for us to do this morning is to reconnect, to re-engage, to take a time out, to review something that we've done already this past month, and that is sermons on prayer. Now, I picked two of the sermons this last month on what I preached on prayer. And the first one is Praying Well, and that was August 11th. And the other one is Too Busy to Pray, and that was August 18th. Okay? So, let me ask you quickly this question. Before we do it, what would it benefit us, or what could the benefit be for us to take a time out and reconnect with what we've taught this past month? What could be the benefit? Because maybe there's not. Maybe we're just going to say, well, we're not doing that again. Okay. Refresh. Which is always good to refresh a memory on. Because, you know, you work on these teachings, these sermons, and then I take it and I file it away, and you'll never hear it again, probably. I try to think, I've probably pulled out an old sermon and reworked it probably, I don't even know, maybe five times maybe. I mean, rarely. Okay, so it's a refresher, okay. Okay, well, at least there's one benefit, right? Okay, so this is how it's going to work, all right? Now, because I don't know how long this is going to take, and there's two different teachings. Here's what, and again, if this is not clear, please let me know, okay? Here's how it's going to work. We're going to split this up, and half of you are going to look at and try to answer the questions from that sermon, working together, because some of you weren't here, and then some of you forget, and if nobody can get the answer, that's what we'll eventually arrive at the answer, because I have the answer. I have the answer sheet, okay? And this is nothing like, gotcha, this is not, well, shame on you. This is just, prayer is so important. Prayer is such a privilege. A subject like prayer is so worth revisiting some past teachings that we taught on. But anyway, so we're going to break this up, and you're going to be working on two groups, okay? Now, we're going to split up, okay? And then what we're going to do is, before you start working on them and try to work with each other on this, I would like to know if there's anybody who would give a testimony or share how your prayer life has improved, okay, over this past month. So this is how it's going to work.
Ready? You know how we usually do these four group things? Well, this time I would like to have you two groups as one group, okay? And you back there as one group, all right? And I want you guys together to see if you can come up with the answers on praying well, okay? And I want you guys back there to work with each other on too busy to pray. Now, just to prime the pump on for each teaching, okay? Praying well. Let's see if you can remember a few things. I started off when I preached this sermon by saying there is a world of difference between doing something and doing it well. You remember that? What examples did I use?
Construction,
right? There's a difference between saying, Connie, yeah, I can drywall. Well, come on over. All right. And now, Connie's going to find out real quick if I do it well, right? Okay, right. There's a world of difference between doing something and doing it well. And, you know, if we ask the typical Christian, well, yeah, I pray. Sure, I pray. Okay, but that's not the final question. The question is, you pray, but how well do you pray, right? Because we want to do everything well, especially when it's for the Lord. And so, Jesus teaches us how to pray well in Matthew 6. He says, when you pray, so he's saying, I expect you to pray, but when you pray, this is how you pray well. This is how you pray well within my will and my desire. Okay, and there's three questions that I want you guys to work on here in a minute. Okay, now, back here, you guys, Now, see, you guys are so used to just coming here and just listening, right? Passively just let me sit in my seat and let me just semi-listen, right? But is that really, really how we learn? See, that's the least effective way, is for someone to sit up here for 40 minutes and teach something where really, how much do you retain of that? Statistically, it's very low. It's when you actually engage the passage, actually engage one another, we actually learn from one another and we retain a little more, okay? So, you guys back here, you guys are too busy not to pray. How many of you can say that? I am so busy, I've got to pray. This is faith. Right, but typically we don't, right? If I have a lot on my plate, I'm getting up and I'm getting in my day, right? Lord, help me with my day, boom. Typically, that's what happens. Most of us cannot say, no, I make sure because I have a busy day. And I ran across something that Martin Luther said, supposedly said, which I thought was pretty awesome. He said, it is told that he said, I am so busy today, I have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. We instantly, your flesh instantly recoils from that. So, we talked about spending time in prayer and what kind of time do we spend in prayer. And so there's three questions here that I want you guys to work on. Now, again, maybe you won't come up with an answer, and maybe what I'm hoping you do, okay? But you notice, no matter what side you're on, look at the very bottom, looking for advice. And here's what I want you guys to think about, because we want to learn from each other. This is how we speak the truth into each other's lives, which we're commanded to do. And since when is it that the pastor on Sunday morning is the only one that has something good to say? Because by the time that we've been interacting more, we've learned from each other, okay? And so, here's the scenario, this last question that we want us to end on is this. A young Christian comes up to you and says, Shell, what advice could you give me that I can remember? So ask me a sentence, okay? That could help me in my prayer life. Okay? So, write that down. You almost answered.
Yeah.
Write it down, because what I would like to do, as a matter of fact, I would like you to write that down on an index card. Okay? Because I would like to compile these answers and then list them and hand them out to you guys. Okay? Because I know somebody has some suggestions that I could profit from. So I'm kind of being selfish right now. I just want to hear from you, and I want to learn from you too, okay? All right,
Is that group, or is that individual?
What's that?
This
your own answer. One sentence. That's all I'm asking. One sentence on what advice would you give, okay? Because I'm going to ask for 10. I'm asking, and again, you can only have one sentence, so if you speak once, you can't speak anymore, okay? But I'm going to ask for 10, and then I would like for you guys to just put them on whoever wants to answer or write them on the index card, just throw them on the table back there, and I'll take them. So, before we talk and interact, does anybody have a testimony on maybe your prayer life has improved this past month? Okay, that's good. That's why I want to hear the teacher is what you're saying. No, I'm just kidding.
I think it's made me more aware of time spent and just the fact that I'm trying to concentrate more on what I'm praying for, so that I can call these things in my mind and bounce in and out when I pray. More focused.
Content, right? Not just praying, but praying well. Content. Yep.
Using the songs has really helped me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Using the songs.
To more praise, more expression of thanks to God for all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing power.
really opens your mind and your vocabulary of being able to worship and praise Him.
Yeah.
I have a really good devotional book that Sheila Larrabee had given me a long time ago. Really, it's got a lot of good information and prayers on each page. And it's, I really like that.
Good.
Okay, all right, well, great. And I'm sure some of you could share something too. So go ahead and start working on these. And if you don't know the answer, try to find somebody that might too. So, okay, so I have to.
Pastor Jeff?
Yes.
Isn't cheating if we get our notes out from that week?
No, because actually, if we ever do this again, I think I'd like to let you know ahead of time, like, hey, next week we're going to be reviewing the last whatever, and if you have your stuff, you want to look at it, because that's the whole goal, is to get you to re-engage and reconnect with what we've already covered, too. So now, get it. We'll see how good notes are.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, all right. Okay, so did anyone, you guys are up here, right?
Yes.
Maybe you know back there, did anybody remember the 80-20 comment from Matthew chapter 6? What did you guys, did anybody come up with anything?
Spiritual.
Is that what you guys came up with, spiritual, physical?
It's part of it. I don't know what you were talking about.
Okay. You guys back there remember that comment? That if you were here,
it's supposed to be 80% spiritual.
What's that?
100%.
Yeah. We looked at Jesus. We broke His prayer down, right? Our Father who, I think we could recite that again. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Like the kingdom, the power, and glory for. I'm stuck in the King James. Thy.
I know, me too.
Yeah,
I was.
Yeah, they got some.
Okay,
that's what I thought. I wanted.
All right. So we looked at. So again, this is not a prayer meant to be recited over and over again. Say 10 Our Fathers, and then go on with your day. Okay. It's meant to be an outline on this. This is praying well. Right. The first on our list when we pray should be. To honor His name, that His name be honored, that His kingdom come to earth, His will. So His kingdom and His will should be on our mind. His adoring His name and honoring His name as holy should be on our mind when we're praying. And then we get to physical needs. And what does Jesus say? Listen, your Father already knows what you need before He asks you. Matter of fact, He's given you so much more than you never asked for, right? So we can praise God that if I don't come in with every single need, He's got you. He's got it covered. Confession. You know, searching out our lives on where sin is and stomping sin out. Now, is it easy for you to stomp every sin out of your life?
No.
Oh, so, isn't it something how you can have a sin, repent, and then it rarely, but then there are certain sins that nag at you, that keep raising its ugly head. So we need to continually evaluate the sin in our life as we are making sure that we're pursuing allowing or forgiving others too, okay? And then praying for protection and deliverance from Satan. Now, you know, you put a ratio, it's pretty much 80% of that is spiritual. And actually, less than 20% is physical. But what dominates our sins typically? It's all about my circumstance. Somebody's organ, right? And I don't mean organ. I mean organ, right?
Yeah.
So it means we shouldn't pray for organs. We shouldn't pray for... No, that's not it at all. Don't allow that to be the dominant. It should be... He should be the focus, his kingdom and his will. Again, I don't want to re-preach all this, so we'll move on, okay? According to Jesus' teaching in Matthew, the main purpose and focus is what?
God.
It's who? It's God. If I keep that in mind, when I go to prayer to God, you are the purpose. You're not only the focus, pray to the Father, but you're the purpose of my prayers, Lord. It's kingdom focused. Let your kingdom come. Now, should we pray for his physical kingdom to come? Absolutely. Pray that his will be accomplished. Absolutely. Okay, until it does, we can continue to pray that his kingdom and his will be done in the hearts of us, in the hearts of each other. So really, it should be kingdom-focused prayer. Can anybody give me an example of a kingdom-focused prayer? Okay, let me give you... Okay. So... We prayed for Uncle Sam this morning, right? We're praying because he has a mass on his pancreas. My goal is to never allow pray for a physical need to stand alone. A physical need not stand alone. I can always attach a kingdom perspective. How can we pray a kingdom perspective where that prayer for Uncle Sam is really about God? Huh? Then go ahead, Doc.
I'm sorry, I'm not your monster.
Yeah.
I just lost it. That through his illness, that the Lord must be glorified through whatever he goes through.
Yeah. It's that simple. Physical needs should never stand alone in our prayer. The beginning should be God, the end should be God. Lord, we know that this is a physical issue, but Lord, he's in greater need. If he has not repented and received the forgiveness of sins, we pray this first and foremost, because that is the greatest glory that God can receive from us, is when a sinner repents. We become the praise of his glory, Paul says. We become the praise of his glory when we come to Christ. So the best way I can glorify God is to ask him to glorify himself through the salvation of Uncle Sam. Physical needs should never stand alone. So technically, we could our prayers could be 100%, probably should be 100% spiritual. You somehow have to relate it, and it should be related to the spiritual, because the physical is always related to the spiritual. Okay, so kingdom focused. All right, if I focus more on God and his kingdom in my prayers, how could that really change my perspective on my problems? It doesn't say how will that change my problems or eliminate my problems or give me a problem-free life. How is it that it will change my perspective if my focus in prayer is God and his kingdom? What say you? Shut it.
Well, I have down that we see our problems as overwhelming, and with God, we can see the bigger picture.
Okay.
Bigger than, we have a narrow view of our problems.
Mm. Here, my problem is right here. What am I staring at? Oh, what am I missing out, though?
Good things, kind of.
On his blessings, on what we can be thankful for, on the bigger picture. The bigger picture. Which brings it down to size, right? My fingers are pretty big right now.
Mm-hmm.
But praise God. Oh, now it brings it. It's still there. It still hurts. It's still a struggle. But then I looked upon my Lord. My whole perspective changed. It still hurts, but it's his strength. Yes. Okay, what else?
See a purpose in the problem.
What if I can't see a purpose? Biblical Christians, we know there's always a purpose. That we know that when we focus on God and He's sovereign, there's always an ultimate purpose, and somehow that purpose relates back to His glory.
And God's That's great. In control.
What's that?
God's in control. He's sovereign, and regardless of what we are facing, it is for a reason.
We know that here, but man, sometimes it's hard right here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it, Lord.
I don't understand why I'm doing it.
I don't get it. Here's what, again, a sample. We had this outreach every other month, have how many people here? And Lord, not one soul? Not, well, you don't know. Yeah, but Lord, can we see a little, you know what I mean? So, but I know He's sovereign. I know there's three elements involved. I know it's Pastor Farmer teaching. I know it's soul sitting here. And I know God. And those three elements, there's only one thing that Pastor Don can control, Him. And it's God's purpose and plan. So, Lord, keep us faithful no matter what we see or don't see, right? Keep us faithful to preach the gospel. Keep us faithful to stay on the righteous path. Because ultimately, all this is going to bring you glory. Okay, I got to move on. We could keep going on this. Okay. Too busy not to pray. Did you guys get this one? There are only two ways that you can invest your time, basically. There's only two ways that you can spend your time. Not just prayer, but in your life. You either have scheduled time, or you have spontaneous, right? Did I get that word right? Spontaneous, right? Because remember last week I put, 2 weeks ago I meant precise, I put precious.
Yeah.
Why are you so precious? Again, why are you so precise? Spurgeon said that at the end of his sermon on a jealous God. He said, if someone asked me, why are you so precise, Spurgeon? He says, because I serve a jealous God. That's why I'm so precise. And that's why we want to be so precise in our prayers. Not legalistic, right? Because God has given us a lot of freedom as Christians. But we want to do it well. We want that freedom to glorify Him. So there's really only two ways you can spend time with God. And that's scheduled prayer time and then the spontaneous time. We see both of them. We see Jesus practicing both of them. And therefore, we should practice both of them. And yet, he often withdrew, speaking of Jesus, and prayed. That was his habit. He would often withdraw on a scheduled time and pray. As he talked about his suffering, his soul became troubled. And he says, what happens when his soul became troubled? Had he, humanly speaking, he hadn't planned on praying at that moment. But because of the circumstance of his death and his suffering, it caused his soul to be troubled, so he prayed to the Father. Father, glorify your name. It was always about the Father. And so we need to certainly have both of these in our life. A lot of Christians think it's okay to just have spontaneous prayer, which is necessary, right? You get a prayer chain, you almost get a wreck but you don't. Okay, or you almost get ready than you do, right? Times of prayer. But filling in the crack for your day is not sufficient. We have to have that focused prayer time regularly. Now, when we did a survey, some of you are in the morning, some of you are in the evening, and some of you aren't at all. But let me highly encourage you, if you're going to pray well, then if prayer was on a coin, that needs to be both sides of that coin of prayer. Schedule time. If you do not schedule focused time of prayer, let me highly encourage you to start. Along with that prayer time through the day, as God just has you run into circumstances. Okay. All right. Now, when praying, again, this is an example. If I said,
For 10 minutes, I want you to pray, to praise God. For 10 minutes, I want you to do nothing but praise Him in your prayers. For 10 minutes. Most of us would be like, 2 minutes? What? It felt like 20. We often run out of words before we run out of words, or run out of time, okay? But how is it that, what can we use so that we run out of time before we run out of words?
Scripture.
The Bible. It's you literally, if you make it a regular habit to use the Scripture in your time of prayer, you literally will typically run out of time before you run out of words to pray. And if we went through systematically and shared all the things that you should be praying for, you're like, how do I have time to do anything else?
Right.
But you can't pray everything every day. So you're going to have some kind of system, your own system. Use the Bible in your prayers. Okay? We all want to be effective. We all want to pray prayers that God can answer. According to Jesus in John 15:7, what will lead to effective prayer? And this is the passage. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it'll be done to you. So, what did you guys... what will lead to effective praying?
Well, it says it right there.
That says a lot, though.
Yeah.
Somebody has...
I think knowing what God wants for us so that we can pray back to Him and Him hear our prayer.
Okay. So we find out what He knows wants from us by
reading the Bible, the Word.
So what is it about the Bible then when you find Scripture and you pray that Scripture back? Why does that make an effective prayer to
them? If you're abiding in Him, you're not going to ask for just something out of the sky. When you're in tune with Him, then what you ask is going to be what He wants, and so
yeah.
He'll answer. But someone could take that verse, not knowing nothing, and think, wow, I want a Cadillac tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No,
God, He's in God.
What's that?
Live in God. You're living in God. Yeah. You live in God by abiding in His Word,
yeah.
And obeying His Word. And Joyce brings up a good point, too. We can easily take something out of context. Like David says, please do not take your spirit away. There's things in the Old Testament that if we applied ourselves, would be totally wrong. Right? There were certain things that God specifically did to like Israel. So we have to be careful. There's boundaries with that too. So today happens to be Gavin's 19th birthday. Yeah. 19th. Yeah. So I've really spent a lot of time praying for Gavin. Praising God, right? That he's my son, and God's given him 19 years and us 19 years, and just praising Him that you know, my wife was able to do the easy job of carrying. It really wasn't rough on us at all. You're not one.
Even
laughing,
that was 19
dude.
Years ago.
Oops. But so the best thing I could do, because if without the Scripture, I'd be like, Lord, bless his life, right? Helping in this, right? Real just stuff. But this year, I went to Proverbs 15. Now, why do you go to Proverbs 15? Well, it's the 15th day of the month. And a lot of times, I'll just, whatever the day of the month it is, I'll read that proverb, and stuff will pop out that I'll just pray. And so as I was reading through it, I was praying those things for him. The first one was, does anybody have their Bibles? Proverbs 15:1. But what better thing could I pray for my son than something from the Proverbs? It doesn't matter, whichever. Okay. And, oh, here it is. Yeah, a gentle answer, which this came for me too. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Is that right? I sat on that just for me. Like, wait, it's not about me. And I said, Lord, I pray that Gavin would practice with gentle answer. From a gentle answer, you must have a what? Gentle heart. And I said, Lord, I pray that my son would grow in his with a gentle heart so that he could turn away wrath. Who I know he has and I have said harsh things and it's done nothing but stir anger in other people. So Lord, I pray in his relationships that that he would be thoughtful and merciful and gentle before he answers. I mean, I could spend 10 minutes just on that passage. You see how and the more you do this, the more I can't pray without the scripture. I'm just saying that. But when I don't have a scripture with me, guess what's popping in my mind? Stuff from Psalms, stuff from, except this time I didn't pop in my mind. It's so fresh. Okay, I gotta keep going. Okay, this is it. We're late.
Oh, wow.
Did you guys do it? Did you guys fill out this, your index cards? Okay, can you just lay them on the table? And then, are we just going to close in prayer? And we'll, okay, because it's like 5 after 11. So, thank you for your participation and great answers. And then, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Okay, if you guys want to stand, we'll close in prayer.
Lord, it is good to be among your people. It is good to have brothers and sisters who are eager to reconnect because it's to your word. It's us connecting our souls and our minds and engaging your word and then engaging each other and speaking the truth. And I thank you for all who spoke the truth and participated, Lord. And we just pray that having sat on these again and reconnected to some of these truths again, that they would soak in just a little deeper and that, Lord, we want to follow you not in our words and not just to be passive listeners, but we want to be doers. So, Lord, with the power of your Spirit through your word, we've heard some truths today again that we pray that we would be determined to begin to practice these or continue to practice these, Lord, because it begins with you, it continues with you, and ends with you and your glory. Let our prayers reflect that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.